glorify Jesus this morning. Let's give him praise. He's the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. All things are made by him and for him. Visible and invisible thrones and dominions, principalities and powers. He's before all things. And in him all things consist. It has pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in him. And of his fullness we have received grace for grace. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is the right scepter. For you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore the Lord your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Ride on prosperously this morning. Because of truth, because of meekness, and because of righteousness. And let your right hand teach you terrible things. Father, we give you praise. And this morning, and blessed be God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Thank you for choosing us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. And as we teach this morning, we declare everyone is blessed. Everyone is lifted. Everyone is edified. Everyone is strengthened. And everyone is encouraged through the teaching of the word and by the power of the Spirit. Thank you for the release of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace pressed through the many and cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. To the praise and the glory of your name, in Jesus' name we'll pray. Come on, give the Lord a big hand as you take your seat this morning. Indeed, it gives me a great honor to be here this morning to bring forth the word of God. Let me firstly apologize for my inability to be here yesterday in the morning. I just recently came back to the country, and it's been a roller coaster from one meeting to the other. Yesterday too, we were in a meeting, and from there we were trying to come here. And we were held up in traffic for over 5 hours. And I want to thank God for the opportunity. And I appreciate especially the College of Bishops in the house, the College of Pastors. I salute every one of you. And more importantly, I want to salute my brother and friend, Pastor Shola Oshumagende, for putting together this great program. We've come a long way in the city of Abel with organizing programs. And I think it started, like Pastor Shem Gwoka said, in the year 2000. For the last 17 years, there's been one program or the other in the city, either by my brother or by myself, or the two of us together teaming up to, you know, do a meeting. Because we believe so much in the destiny of this city. And I believe God is doing some amazing things in the city of Abeokuta. And I believe you are not here by mistake. I also want to appreciate my brother and friend, Pastor Shevin Koka. Thank God for you. I have about 40 minutes this morning, so I'm just going to go straight into the word. And let me also apologize up front that once I finish teaching, I have to escape again. Because I have another meeting in Lagos by 2, and I have another one by 6. It's a very full day. Praise God forevermore. Before I forget, please, we brought some books for all the senior pastors in the house. Can I have a copy? Later, a copy of my book is called The Signature. It's my 20th book. This is The Signature. Please, every senior pastor in the house, because we might not have an opportunity to do that, you're entitled to a free copy. Can you just pick one for the glory of God? Let's turn our Bible to Galatians chapter number 3. I just want to, please, Pastor, want to build on some of the thoughts Pastor Poju started teaching yesterday night. It was as he was looking at my notes. While I was with him yesterday night, I said, if we had slept in the same room, I would have said you copied my notes. And that has always been the case with me and Pastor Poju, and that was how we met. Eventually, I remember the first time we met, somebody came to our church in Abuja. I was still pastoring in Abuja at the time. And he said, there's somebody in Lagos who is preaching your message? And I'm like, who is the person? I never heard of Pastor Pojo all my life up until that moment. And he said, Pojo Emade. I said, who is that? So I told him, I said, order for his messages for me since you are coming to Abuja. That's Pastor Henry. And he brought three messages. I listened to the first one. I was like, this was the message of last Sunday. Listen to the second one, Upper Sunday. I just had to call him. I said, sir, who is preaching? Because it's as if we're saying the same things, using the same scriptures, emphasizing the same things. And that's how we started our relationship. And of course, when my brother got into a very powerful relationship with him, it was easy. And that was the case. So, now, Galatians 3. Let's begin to read. The title of this message is Before Faith Came. Look at your neighbor. Before Faith Came. Now, this is very important. Galatians 3, verse 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now, we all know Hebrews 11:1, and we all know Romans 10:17. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So when the scripture talks about before faith came, that means it's talking about a situation in which a believer finds himself that is believing God to do something in his life outside of the influence of the word of faith. That is the term the scripture calls the law. That means a believer can be believing God for a breakthrough or whatever you are believing God for. That believing God is not rooted in faith, it's rooted in religion. So when the Bible talks about law, it's talking about a religious system that is devoid of grace and truth. That all it does is just to give you hopes and aspirations, but will never cause the purpose of God for your life to be fulfilled. And most people have not come into the space that is called faith, because for the most part, people still relate with God on the basis of religion. So Paul was describing a scenario here that every time you are believing God for something, don't begin to think you're automatically in faith. So there's a space there that is called before faith comes. And how do you know faith has not come? Number one, you are not processing what you are hearing by the word. So that means it does not matter the information that is coming to you, because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do I know with respect to the situation I'm believing God for that faith has come? When I start processing everything I'm hearing by the word. That means once I refuse to hear anything that is contrary to the word of God. So there's such an exercise of faith that is called hearing by the word of God. That means it does not matter what anybody is saying. It does not matter what the situation is saying. It does not matter what the circumstances are saying. Once those things are not lining up with the word of God, I refuse to hear. That means you have developed an attitude in which you have put screen on your two ears. That everything that is coming in, you are screening it. And once it doesn't line up with the word of God, you throw it out. So concerning what you are believing God for, have you gotten to that point? That there is no other persuasion, there is no other thing other than what the word of God has said about that particular thing. That's the only thing you are holding on to, because that will also launch you into the second thing. Whenever you are not in this space and you are believing God for something, technically what you are doing is that you are interacting with the shadow of that promise, not the substance. So in In Hebrews 11, it began to say, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means the difference between a man of faith and a man who is just in religion, who is just trying to use the system of the law to approach God, which of course Hebrews already tells us in Hebrews 10 that the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of things can never, with those sacrifices they make every year, make it come unto perfect. So you see people year in year out believing God, praying and doing those things, and all that they're just doing is Hebrews 10:1. That they are just trying to approach God, and if you look at the system, there's no access point into grace. Because until faith kicks in, you can never access the grace of God. So you can be believing God for something, but the environment is so hostile because there's no grace. So the Bible says it is of faith that it might be by grace, so that promise can be sure to all the seed. So technically what faith does is to firstly give the believer access into the grace of God. Because just like Pastor Paul, you said yesterday, you are not going to get this thing through your effort. There is something God has done that is called the grace of God. It's an unmerited favor. You can never merit it. So what faith does is to create an access point so that you can come into the grace of God. Until we have this understanding, you are just going to be struggling and think, oh, if I can just do this the more, if I can just do that the more. But you realize that if you look at the environment, two things are significantly lacking: grace and truth. Grace and truth. That means you are not going about asking God to fulfill that promise on the basis of grace. And there is no truth backing your posture, as it were, in the spirit. And for the most part, you realize that what is going on is just religion. So when Paul started talking about before faith came, that's what he was talking about. He said we were kept under guard by the law. And that is why it's so difficult for a lot of people to break into the next significant thing, because there's a system that is keeping them, that is edging them, that is saying, no, you are not going to. And you see, what faith does is to break you out of that system. Because there's something called the law. Once there's no grace and there's no truth, you are hedged in. But the Bible says the beautiful thing about that situation is that you are kept for the faith that will afterward be revealed. And he said the law, going to church, all these religious things people do, it's like a schoolmaster. It's like a tutor. The reason for the law is not to keep you perpetually religious, it's to bring you to Christ. Look, just like Pastor Paul said yesterday, the word Jesus, and thank God that somebody I love, Pastor Paul, you said it, that was what the word of faith missed. You see, what the word of faith missed is that part that says faith, apart from the access into the grace of God, also brings you to Christ. Look, if you are not brought to Christ on any matter, you are still in religion. It's like a tutor. So that by the time you try, it should begin to resonate with your heart. That number one, you are significantly lacking in grace. If you see anyone making any headway in life, it's because the grace of God is evident. And that grace is not just lasciviousness, it's balanced by the truth of God. So that they have access into grace and truth. And the Bible says those are the things that came by Jesus Christ. So as you begin to explore grace and truth, what you find out is that you are getting closer to Christ. That might bring us to Christ. So it's like, you want to go this way, then no, don't go that way. Don't go this way. What is the whole essence? To bring us to Christ so that you might be justified by faith. So everything the believer wants to receive is in Christ. So therefore, that is why Hebrews 11:2 says, by it the elders obtain a good report. If you see anyone that says he's walking by faith and is backsliding, forget about it. This message is a maturing message. It makes you to become an elder. So if you don't see spiritual maturity, and you're like, I'm confessing scripture, oh God, the next significant Bentley is going to be my own. And we cannot see corresponding eldership. Because the whole essence is not for God to give you Isaac. The whole essence is for you to become the father of nations. You must firstly become something bigger than the father of Isaac. And as the father of nations, that is the posture you need to know to do the will of God on the face of the earth and to begin to prepare you
for an encounter with Christ. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Look, every time you come to God and you say, God, I need something, the first thing significantly God will tell you is what He has made you. That means, look, God does not respond to us the way we want Him to respond to us. God is a faith God. God is faith-centric. God, oh my, is big on you exploring the full bandwidth of His glory. There is a value chain of faith that a believer must fully explore in the scheme of things. So Abraham said, I need a son, I need a son. God said, I don't deal with people at that level. The first thing is not that you need a son. The first thing is to find out what I made you. Because once you become what I made you, Isaac will come out. But the problem is that people are focused on Isaac. And they don't want to go through that path of growth, that path of the just, that shines brighter. You see, that was why it took Abraham 25 years. He was not necessarily waiting for Isaac. It was the time it took him to become the father of nations. Because as the father of nations, he defeated five nations to rescue Lot. He was their father. Oh, you are not getting me. That is posture in the spirit. That is eldership. As the father of nations, when God wanted to go and destroy Sodom, out of all the ways to get to Sodom, God had to pass in front of the home of Abraham. You know why? God needed somebody as a father to intercede. So you are saying you are standing by faith. You are not an intercessor. You are not walking in love. You are not rescuing people. You are only focused on your Isaac. What kind of faith is that? So look at our neighbor and say, where is the pathway of growth and spiritual maturity? So the question again this morning is that what has God made you while you are waiting? So the waiting period of faith is not buying time. It's a season of capacity building. Because while Abraham was waiting, not only did he become a warrior, he became an intercessor, he gave tithes, he worked in love, he became so many things that after all said and done, the day his faith brought him to Christ. And I believe that day has come for somebody here this morning. It was like an ordinary day. We're going to get there in a moment. I mean, Abraham was so much persuaded of his role that he eventually saw God face to face. He never asked anything about Isaac. If you were to be Abraham, now this God has been speaking to you. Now he now showed up on your doorstep. What would be your first prayer point? Say, well, God, now that you are here, or Isaac, do you know Abraham never asked? It was God that said, where is Sarah, your wife? Because if you are focused on the need, you will miss the Lord. Don't forget, this thing is to bring us to Christ. And when we come to Christ, we are justified by faith. That's the trajectory. To bring us to Christ, so that we might be justified by faith. Hallelujah. So if it doesn't bring you to Christ, you can't have anything. Because everything the believer is going to have is in Christ. So the vital issue that the faith world must begin to address in the days to come is our relationship with Christ. Because it is with Him that God will freely give us all things. It's with Him. See, there's nothing God wants to give you that is outside of Christ. And the whole essence of our faith is to bring us to Christ. And at the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul, Christ will show up. But the manner in which Christ is going to show up is what I want to quickly discuss today before I round up. Because it's not going to show up the way you want Him to show up. It's not going to show up the way you... Because some of us already have a mindset about how our prayers must be answered. That the answers will be bypassing us every day, and we don't know that's the answer. Because we already have a love mentality. A mentality that is devoid of grace and truth, that is robbing us of our inheritance. Because the law will only give you the shadow, it will never give you the substance. So every time a believer is believing God for something and you are not doing it in faith the way we've described it, you cannot see that on the account of what I'm believing God for, I'm now beginning to grow. I used to pray 2 minutes before, now I'm praying 20 minutes. Oh, I used to be this before, now I'm not a father of nation. There are some people in my care now. I'm not an intercessor. Can you imagine? I mean, not only was he an intercessor, he was a warrior. Why waiting? God said, how can I do anything and now not tell Abraham? He became God's confidant. Why waiting? They said, Lot was captured. He had his own 318 trained soldiers. Can you imagine the guy had a private army? Why waiting? Because for some people, the waiting period is the most terrible period of their lives. Because they don't understand that this is the time to build capacity and to prepare you for an encounter with Christ. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So you must get to that point in which you connect with Christ because you are a seed of Abraham. So he said before faith came, we are kept under guard by the law. Kept for the faith that will afterwards be revealed. That is the whole essence of this conference. So the message of yesterday night and this message, and I believe what Apostle Selma would do, is to tell you one truth. That there is a faith that is afterwards being revealed here. That you must now line up with and begin to mix with the development of God in your heart either to. And how that's going to work. So, it is important for us to appreciate the truth that we are at the junction of something massive that the Lord wants to do. Something great, something powerful. Because it's not just another religious gathering as it were. So the second truth is this. To prepare you for that encounter with Christ, like I said, I'm going to get there shortly. You must also appreciate the truth that how do you know you are beginning to explore the value chain of this faith thing we're talking about? Look at the steps you are taking in life. How much of those steps are in sync with the steps Abraham took? You know, Romans 4 talks about in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. So in Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, I beg your pardon, what do we read there? Genesis 11, please. What is there? Genesis 12, I beg your pardon. Okay, we don't have it on the screen. What is in Genesis 12? The Lord had, why is it? Okay, and the Lord had said unto Abraham. No, it's on the screen. Thank you very much. Get out of your, and so on and so forth. The Lord had said. Now, this is one word, because I woke up in the morning to pray, and this is the one part the Holy Spirit will have me to emphasize. Genesis 12:1 was not where God spoke to Abraham. Genesis 12:1 was when Abraham acted on what God said. That is why the Bible says the Lord had said. Again, we need to emphasize this, Sila. The Lord had said, not that the Lord is saying. So the fact that Abraham chose to respond to God at 70 did not mean God spoke to him at 70. Go back to the last three verses of Genesis 11. Why did he not respond immediately? You read the same thing account in Acts 7. Stephen began to speak and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, listen, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. For years, Sarah was barren. Look at me, everyone. Whenever there is a major need in your life, it's always a remembrance of the truth that there is a word of God you have not acted on. But the beautiful thing about this story is this. That is the encouragement. In that, we were not told, let's say God spoke to Abraham when he was 40. And he decided to act at 70. The beautiful thing about the story is this, that the word of God is ever fresh. 30 years after the day you choose to act on it, it does not expire. God did not tell Abraham, he said, I've been waiting for you for so long. Now that you have refused, you know, it's all over. It has expired. It's gone. That word was waiting for him. Why could Abraham not connect with that word immediately? The terror factor. When God spoke to Abraham, Abraham went to share the vision with Terah. You see that? And Terah said, is that what God is saying? For us to leave this off, this which is Mesopotamia, and go to Canaan. Terah said, let us go. And look at verse 31. If you saw the pack as they were moving, who would you think God spoke to? Oh, so you can see it. Who did God speak to? Who is now leading the pack? After God speaks to you, whatever consideration, person, people, places, opinions that you are allowed to take a lead is a terror. It will delay obeying that word maybe for another 30 years. I know the bad thing about terror is that terrors are die hard. Terror died 205. So that means Abraham could not move until the death of terror. You see that same thing confirmed in Acts 7, that the Bible says after the death of his father, God, now moved him. So he was immovable because of attachment to terror. Just like Pastor Ralph said yesterday, so don't think God wanted Abraham to have Isaac at 100. It was Abraham that delayed because terror took charge. Can you imagine terror? 205. So remove 75 from 205. That means when Terah gave birth to Abraham, he was 103 years old. Oh, you don't understand? And he lived, continued to live, and Abraham was like, I need the support of my father. Because the reason why people will not obey God is because of appendages here and there. Things we depend on, and we feel if these things are removed, we are finished. And for that long, Abraham stayed there, obeying Terah, until Terah died. The question is this. Supposing Terah lived for another 50 years. Because you might not be as fortunate as Abraham. That thing, and you know what? God said Abraham lead. Terah started leading. Your fears can begin to lead you. Your insecurities. You know, all those things people do, before you know it, if we see the park, we can't even see you again. All we are seeing is terror. And guess what? God said, go to Canaan. This is of Kadesh. This speaker is Aaron. That pulpit is Canaan. Terror started leading. And for some mysterious reason, terror got to Aaron and decided to die there. So that means in faith, half obedience is no obedience. Because some people can say, after all, we have left Mesopotamia. But are you in Canaan? God did not say go to Aaron. But for fear of the unknown, Abraham pitched his tent here and he was here, and Sarah continued to be barren. Because you see, the purposes of God for the believer, not only are they spiritual, they're also geographical. There are certain things that will never happen until you get into a certain city. All our covenant fathers, none of them prospered at home. From Abraham to the land I will show you, Isaac had to go to the land of the Philistines to prosper. Jacob had to go to Syria. Joseph had to go to Egypt. How do you think you'll be an exception? In fact, Joseph already thought he was going to be an exception. Because at 17, he was already wearing a designer suit. And God said, look at this small boy. You want to circumvent what I've already established in Abraham. So he had to organize hatred. Are you being hated this morning? Oh, you are the man. see, that is God making the environment uncomfortable for you, so that you can be geographically accurate. That is why believers don't lobby. They don't lobby where they will serve. I'm eating some things now. Now let's look at Genesis 18 and close. What time did I start ministry? What time? So how many minutes more? 5 minutes more. Okay, yeah, let's quickly look at Genesis. So how did the Lord show up? Then we can close. Hallelujah. Genesis 18. But I hope you have gotten some things this morning. That is what is important. It's not how long. Is that now the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre. I salute Pastor Rex on us, and I want to salute you especially because of what you did. Pastor Rex did what I've not seen many ministers in our generation do in a long time. We were in a lorry ministry, and I finished my session. It was for pastors and leaders. And he took the entire message, sent to his church, and asked the entire church to listen to it. When he told me, I was like, most people in our generation would rather go and preach that message themselves and say, I have a word from the Lord this morning. Thank God for you. I mean, it's so, I was just blown away. For a pastor to take the message of another pastor, send it hook, line, and sinker to his church, for them to listen to it. It's you know, we'd rather say, the Lord spoke to me this morning. Or try to preach the message and get the point. And say point one, but never acknowledge the source. Thank God for you. I was just blown away when, well, I don't have to read this because I can't finish what I need to finish in 5 minutes. But I think I've said enough. And believe me, I believe it's already a great one. All the truths you have learned this morning, just apply those truths. It's enough to get anyone and everyone in the way. So I will stop in another 1 minute. I want to acquire Reverend Tunde Ajiboye. Thank God for you, sir. And Pastor Dayo Adefolawan. Please don't forget all our senior pastor friends. There's a book for everyone. We're going to hand them over to Reverend Shem Koka. And it would say, so I promoted you now. You are now Reverend Shegun Koka. Or Reverend Doctor. And it will continue from there. So really, I appreciate the opportunity. There's no time. We want to give Apostle Sema time to really minister. And I'm also running to Lagos. But I thank God for the opportunity. Shall we rise as we just honor the Lord this morning? Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray.